Hi, Phil Hendry here on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And I don't know what to, how to exactly jump into this, but today is 420, April 20. And that has particular significance to, if you're ready for this, dope smokers. Now, I don't know why, and I've had, and you probably, I would guess for the most part, most people are not aware of this. I know that the potheads are, good for you. All the fish fans, all you cats that are hanging on with the dead. But the rest of the populace, the rest of the human race, is pretty much unaware that on this day, April 20, 420, people get stoned. Which is not to say that they're not getting stoned every other day of the year. Which is not to say that anybody that smokes pot and would pay attention to a day like 420 wouldn't be getting high every night in their garage. Now, at 420, on 420, I guess all over the world, people are going to be getting high. Not all over the world. I think this is a decidedly American phenomenon. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this is really something that only a handful of college and late high school age kids are into, and they're going to get high at 420. I don't know why this, how this started. Somebody said that it was the anniversary of Hitler's, what, birthday or death, something like that. So naturally, we all want to get high to celebrate that. What, Hitler, one of the all-time great stoners? Let me ask you people that are anti-drugs, by the way. Are you telling me now, all you people that don't think drugs are good, are you telling me that you would rather Hitler have not dropped acid? Is that what you're saying? Or you're saying you'd rather he dropped acid because it would kill him? Adolf Hitler. Yeah, sure. Let's just keep all of that stuff like ecstasy and pot away from him because it could make him worse. Well, anyway, today is the day at 420, pot smoking. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, I'm going to tell you that I come from a culture of the 60s. I'm a baby boomer. And my marijuana use, which was very early in my life, I was 4 or 5, I think, when I started smoking it. And that, you know, but actually, marijuana at one time, of course, was a felony offense. You could go to jail for a long time. People who literally were in possession of, say, an ounce of marijuana would go to jail for 20 years. Now, that's fairly recent in American history. I'm talking about the 70s. People who were caught with no more than a couple of joints could go inside for a pretty deep stretch. I'm talking months, if not years. But pot smoking today is about as mainstream in this country, I think, as it's ever going to get. As a matter of fact, people say, why don't we legalize dope? It's legal, man, for all intents and purposes. Name a street corner in America where you can't get it. Name an American that can't get his hands on some marijuana within 24 hours. Seriously. Right now, as a matter of fact, just make a phone call to Craig Taylor, my engineer, and he'd be happy. I'm kidding, of course. Here's Craig's pager number. But at all, now here's the thing about 420 that I wanted to say. Pardon me. There is, and I'm gonna say this as gently as I can. There is an attitude, I think, among particularly perhaps young dope smokers that marijuana is still kind of a secret thing. Marijuana hasn't been a secret thing since the 50s, really. I mean, you know, when a couple of guys sat in a car out in front of the Hungry Eye in San Francisco and had to blast up because they were afraid the cops were everywhere, right? When you'd put the joint down for fear you'd go to a concentration camp. That's the last time that using marijuana in this country was ever really a hep secret sort of, you know, flash the sign, I know where to get it kind of a thing. But today, you know, there's still a cadre of pot smokers, and I think they're pretty young, and that's cool. You know, dude, everybody knows about smoking pot. It's not secret. What's up with the 420 anyway? What, are you telling me that 420 is your secret time to smoke dope? Look, when I got off work tonight, I'm going to be into this secret thing. It's called beer. And now, it would be secret were it not for the fact that when I drink beer, it makes me want to lay down and stop traffic in the street. Other than that, it'd be very secret. Beer is my thing, right? And it would be very hip and secret and underground were it not for the fact that when I drink a case of it, I want to throw furniture off the roof of a building. You know, that blows it. God, Phil, we had a really great thing, man, until you decided to, you know, put cigarettes out on your hand. Well, you know, you're right. Otherwise, it would have been very hip. By the way, Mike Schaefer, who is also relatively in on this scene, he says at 420 on every other day people get stoned, too. Is that for sure? Every other day? Now, which day would that be? Oh, the one. The odd or the even days, man. Okay, so 420, in other words, tomorrow, every day is what he's saying. Every day people get stoned. It's not really, marijuana smoking at one time was something you could go to prison for, and at one time it was something that, you know, if there was pot discovered on anybody, you had a serious drug problem, and yada, 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 you know what I'm talking about. I think that we're all fairly well reconciled to the belief now that marijuana is, if not everybody is an accepting user of it or believer in it, I think the culture at large pretty much sees it as a benign, safe, in moderation, recreational drug, and mothers and fathers smoke it, students smoke it. I'm talking about executives in their 50s and 60s and 70s, some of whom were blasting it up in the 40s in jazz clubs. Now these guys are all executives and CEOs, and at the end of a long, tiring day, they blast up. So when this whole 420 thing, you guys get off that kick. I don't know. In other words, maybe it's an effort to sort of make it a secret thing again. God, I long for the days in the 50s when a black guy and a white guy sitting in a parked car smoking something, that meant crime. Oh, you mean we still have those days? Okay, well, anyway. You ever talk to the cops who will tell you if he sees a black guy and a white guy driving down the street together, that's sure those guys are burglars. They're either burglars or they're stick-up men or something. No white guy and black guy drives down the street together unless these guys are involved in, like, heisting liquor stores. Know that? I got a cop told me that once. You talk about racial profiling. White folks get profiled, too. We get profiled when we're with a black guy. That's our profile, okay? He's white, he's fine. He's with someone black, he ain't good. If you're black, you're bad. If you're white with a black guy, you're bad. But in any event, it hasn't really been that kind of a thing. So 420 is just minutes away, and what we'll do is we'll take a break, and then we will acknowledge that there's a whole bunch of you getting stoned. And if I were a police officer right now, I'd be cruising lots of high school parking lots, lots of college parking lots, just about anybody. Pull everyone over here in about 7 or 8 minutes, okay? Now, I say 420 because I realize my listeners on the East Coast and on the every other coast other than this one, if 420 has already happened, so you're already stoned, and there's nothing I can do to save you. But here on the West Coast, it's moments away, this big secret thing called getting stoned. By the way, fish, they never lit a joint in their lives. That was all a lie. All those guys never even drank. They were aspirin freaks or something, but... 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Hi, Phil Henry here, 1-800-449-8686, and naturally, we start off the show today talking about 420, and the lines are jammed with potheads far and wide with little calls, you know, things like
420 24/7,
click. And then, yeah, man, 420, that's the police code for busting. No, it's not. No, it isn't. 420 is some stoner decided he'd go get stoned at 420 one afternoon after biology class with his friends, and it just became an internet phenomenon. By the way, I have here the book, The Hemp and the Marijuana Conspiracy. In about 45 seconds from now, 420 will hit, and we will acknowledge it. I don't know, with a moment of silence, maybe with some monks chanting. What do you want me to do here, Craig? You're the stoner. No, I'm kidding. I know that you're not. I know you've given that up for Lent. Oh, you mean Lent's over? Well, go ahead, man. Have at it. I don't know, whatever you suggest. Mike is going back now for some sort of, and is this encouraging pot use? Pot's being used everywhere. Everywhere. Some of the greatest people in America today. Some of the highest CEOs. What do you got?
Grateful Dead.
The Grateful Dead, he says to me.
Dun.
What song?
Cut 7, Casey Jones.
Casey Jones, I played that when I was in album-oriented rock, and it blew then, and it still blows. And here we go, 420 right now. We've just hit it on the mark, so let me go to Casey Jones, a song that when I had to play this as a disc jockey, it used to make me angry. I hate this song.
Driving that train, how cool.
Kane. I hate the dead.
Casey Jones, you better watch your speed.
Oh.
Trouble ahead.
Yeah, yeah, we get it.
Trouble behind.
And, of course, we had that sniff at the beginning, and guess what that's all about? You got it, sniffing Energene Spot Remover. Okay. I wish I were dead.
Driving that train.
I'm gratefully dead.
I'm cocaine.
I'll be grateful because I won't have to hear these guys. Now, they're all right, but, you know, enough already with that freaking dead. Jesus. I didn't dig them when they were happening. I did not dig them. And that whole bad thing that they did. Their music was bad. A couple of tunes they did I liked. Bertha was cool. You know, I'm really weird songs like that I really got off on. You know, playing in the band, I like that song. But the rest of this stuff and all of their fans.
Tonight.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Jerry. Freak. Anyway, nah, he was a wonderful, warm, great guy. Bullcrap. Okay, so are we enough of that? Your buddy has a bumper sticker. I'll be grateful when they're dead. Yeah!
Watch your speed.
Okay, oh, speed, drug reference. All right, so there you go. Now, we wanted to do something here at this half hour and just for a few minutes. I have to tell you that I yesterday was a bit disquieted by something we did on the air, and that was the hour that we featured, and I forget who was actually on the air with us, Mike, with Chris Norton, and he was going to make love to 168 women this Sunday as a way of commemorating Columbine. Oh, excuse me, Oklahoma City. Can I have another hit? Thank you. Please stand by. As a way of commemorating Jonestown, we had Chris Norton on here yesterday talking about making love to 168 women. And we wanted to sort of illustrate a point about kind of sometimes it gets very heavy-handed, I guess, with a lot of the observances of anniversaries. Well, you know, I was online last night. I saw all of the very bereaved families still so upset. And I thought, boy, you know what? We might have gone over the line a little bit. Now, I'm not saying that we did. I'm saying, well, maybe we did. I was disquieted. I was thinking, well, Jesus, you know, I know you had a point to make, Phil, but you got to make sure that when you're making your point, you got to make sure that it's funny. And while I suppose the vast majority of people listening to the program are removed from Oklahoma City and all that represented, there were some people who it touched very deeply. So I think, you know, Phil, in a lot of ways, you got to be understanding. And I got to me to thinking, what if there's any other times that we've gone over the line? I know I did a show once about the Pope being sexually backed up, and that caused some problems. And I don't want to be offensive to anyone's religion, except Catholics. I don't mind doing that because I am Catholic. No, nobody. It's not a good thing. So we're going to open up the phone lines wide open right now, and we'd like calls from you at 1-800-449-8686. When have we gone over the line? When, in your opinion, have we gone over the line on this radio broadcast? And I'd just like to know. I'd like to know. I know you like the show, and I know that you listen to the show, and I know, by and large, you find the show funny. But when have we really just not, you know, shouldn't have done it, Phil? You know, you sort of looked at the radio, and you went, oh, boy, you know, I like you, Phil, but you really shouldn't have done that. So we're going to, what we do, Mike, just open up the phone lines right now, 1-800-449-8686. And tell us when you think, on this show, on the Phil Hendry Show, we have basically overstepped the bounds of decency, I think is the way that I would phrase it. Overstepped the bounds of decency, and without any moral constraint whatsoever, have gone right ahead and just lifted our legs to people's feelings, regardless of the consequences. 1-800-449-8686. Our phone lines are open right now. And we're waiting right now for your calls. I think I was disappointed in myself more than anything else for that Columbine bit we did yesterday. I just felt it was wrong. What's that, man? Oklahoma. So we're waiting for your calls on when you think we've really butchered it up, really, pardon my language, crapped all over the feelings of certain people. Please call us now. Okay, we're waiting still, Mike. I don't want any coffee. You're going to have to stay near the phone to answer it. So thank you, though, for that offer, man. It's very nice. Okay, nobody has called, so we've never done that. 1-800-4-4-9-SO-WE-'VE-NEVER-STEPPED-OVER-THE-LINE-ON-THIS-SHOW. Makes me feel a lot better. 1-800-449-SO-WE-'VE-NEVER-STEPPED-OVER-THE-LINE-ON-THIS-SHOW. 1-800-449-8686 is, of course, the number. But I'm now being waved off. Forget it, Phil. Don't go any further with this bit. People have called to say, no, you've never stepped over the line. Thank you very much. I also wanted to mention, and this being a Friday, it's kind of an unusual day for us. I wanted to mention to you that I am very grateful for a lot of things in this world. One of them is that I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be married. And I know how wonderful it must have felt to all of you when you heard that Tom Green and Drew Barrymore were going to have a baby. And as it turns out, it was a joke. Okay, and I'm sure they didn't mean anything by it, or Tom at least, Tom Green and Jay Leno. He says we're fooling around. He said it was sort of surprised people that he would father a child because he only has one testicle, as we know. So that right there should have been a tip-off. But as it turns out, no, they are not having a baby. And the word now is that they're not even married, Tom Green and Drew Barrymore. And they've actually only seen each other once at a Whole Foods in Van Nuys. They don't even know each other. Now that hurts because I thought they knew each other. So Tom Green and Drew Barrymore are not having a baby. They've never even met. I got the wrong copy from the news desk. I'm awfully sorry about that. They don't even know each other. By the way, I was watching Lionel Barrymore in Key Largo. And he's the other night, he's fat and he was sitting in a wheelchair. And I was struck by the uncanny family resemblance between him and his granddaughter, who's a martial artist in Charlie's Angels and is beautiful. What an absolute striking... Oh, God. She's comes from that family? Lionel Barrymore? Did you ever see him in Key Largo? He's 186 pounds in a wheelchair with a kisser that'd freaking make a freight train take a dirt road. His Drew, I guess, is a granddaughter or a great-granddaughter. She's lovely. What? That's the same family? And who is John Barrymore? And who is Ethel Barrymore? How come they all make the same kind of a thing? You know, one thing, there's no disc jockeys in my family. I'm the first, and I'll be the last. My people are a long line of salespeople, rum runners, horse thieves, no DJs. Wasn't anybody in radio. There wasn't anybody in entertainment. Many would say that there still isn't anybody in entertainment in my family. This whole idea, well, are you a chip off the old block? No, you're not. Your old man worked for the phone company or something, right? What's your dad do? Oh, get a load of this. Yeah, but he was a missionary or something. What?
And an importer.
Craig's dad was an importer and a missionary. Now, put those two together, and what do you got? You got a pretty good, a nicely stacked house full of beautiful women in Seattle. But I don't want to go down that road. A missionary and an importer. Put that together, and what do you got? The dude owns brothels, man. No, but that's really funny, because Craig is here. He's a radio nut, and his father was a missionary. And my old man sold truck tires for Goodyear. And Mike's dad, there's nothing in this in the lineage here that would indicate. It's always very interesting to me. For instance, look at that great, the Van Patten family. Mike is saying, no, don't mention them. All right, he's waving me off of the Van Pattens. Well, I like the one guy on White Shadow. All right, so none of those guys could act. Neither can we. Screw you. I'm going to go in and answer those phones. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Henry Show. Get ready, America. It's time for the foremost conservative talk show host in the land, the Michael P. Castrato Show. Liberals, get out of the way. Weak, lily-livered, bleeding-heart liberals that would sell this country down the river, get out of the way for Michael P. Castrato.
Thanks a lot, Gordon Ashjagle. Thank you. Yeah. We're going to get to it today. Is that right, Gordon?
You know it.
Because I am sick and tired. I'm just sick of it. Sick and tired of everything that's going on with the liberals that are messing up everything. And we're going to take charge of this country, and thank God. Go ahead, Artie, play the song we got to play for you guys. As you know, here on the Michael P. Castrato Show. Every time we talk about our great president and our great country, I always get the guys to cue up the biggie. The one that brings a tear to my eye. And you know the song I'm talking about. You idiot, that's not it. I want the national anthem. Okay. So, I'm sorry. I have to take a break. We'll be right back. Get out of here with that. We'll be right back here on the Michael P. Castrato Show after this word from our sponsors. You screwed me up.
Hi, Michael, you're clear. Hey, man, what happened on that thing? Loose that thing up. What the hell happened on that, man? I had the right song now.
I'm sorry we didn't have the right song.
Well, you make me look like a damn fool. Loosen that ball tightener up, man, okay?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How do you sound like a white guy?
Oh, that's a ball tightener.
Ball tightener?
Yeah. See, Dr. Scholes sells a ball tightener for a brother who wants to sound like a white man. You slap that on your balls, tighten it up. Here, watch this. I'll show you right here. See that thing there?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Turn it.
Well, I'd rather not.
Just go ahead, man. Turn that thing. And the more you turn it up
in there, right there, see? And I sound like I'm white and a conservative. And now loosen it, will you? Come on, loosen it. It hurts.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's good. Now, that's all I do, man. I come on the air right now. I was doing all that damn Muslim stuff, you know, black journal report and everything else. Man, I wouldn't get no place.
I got to tell you, that's brilliant.
You know it's brilliant, man. All I do is use a Dr. Scholl ball tightener. I sound like a white man doing a talk show.
Oh, you're coming back, Michael, so get ready in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, wait, we'll tighten it back up, man, because
I gotta start sounding white again.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I'll talk to you in just a minute, all right?
We want to do a piece for you for Time Magazine.
Yeah, that's great.
You're the greatest conservative host in America.
That'd be really good.
Anybody know you're black?
Not yet. I send out pictures of, you know, a picture of Paul Rubens that I'm using right now.
And now, America, back to the Michael P. Castrato Show.
Thanks a lot, Gordon Ashjagle. Who's the guy that messed me up on the last break? I wanted to play the Star Spangled Banner. Because it's a song that I love. It's a country that I love. But I guess I'm going to have to take a breather on that. Well, I'll open up the phone lines now. 1-800-ASS-JANGLE. That's 1-800-ASS-JANGLE. Dr. Michael P. Castrato here. Now, let's find out what's going on in your neck of the woods right now. How you feel about these liberals that are running America right now, okay? Hey, let's go to Macy. How you doing, Macy?
Oh, hello, Gordon. I mean, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. Gordon's here, though. Say hi, Gordon.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. I don't know what I do without your program every day.
Aren't you nice to say, honey? That's really great.
Because I think you say it with an air of authenticity and wonderment. And,
Well, you know,
there's a lot of things that I try. I mean, hold on for a minute.
What's that you say?
Nothing.
There's a lot of things that I like to do that,
You sounded like a Negro for a minute.
Oh, no. You imagine them allowing a black man to have a nationally syndicated show other than Ken Hamblin? No. That'll never happen. And anyway,
that's all I'm saying.
And then it goes again. You sound negro.
We're fine. Let's take a break.
Well, then you'll take a break. You come back to my call?
Yeah, we'll come back to your call. And,
Because you sound black.
No, I swear to God, I'm not black.
I'm just, wait a minute.
I'm not black. We'll be right back here with our phone call here on the Michael Beach Estrada. Michael Beach Estrada Show.
All right, you're clear, Michael.
What the hell going on, man?
I don't know. Something's loose with
it. Well, goddamn fix the thing. The hell you think's going on around here? Don't people find out I'm black? I'm done for.
All right, we'll fix it.
Don't put your hands on my balls, man. Put on the tightener.
I'm really sorry about that, man.
Yeah, you're sorry about it. I gotta go back to that gold cracker in a minute here, try to convince her I ain't some Negro, as she put it.
All right, we'll try and tighten it up.
No, I'm tightening it up there.
Yeah, okay, that's got it. All right.
It's broken, though. We have to hold it in place.
You gotta have your hands on it. Is that it?
That's right. There's no other way.
Oh, great. Okay, so...
Well, you'll squeeze the tighter, man.
Okay, that's got it. The only way I could sound like a white man is if you squeeze those nuts so tight, man, you almost explode them, okay? And we're coming back, right?
Yeah, we're coming back in 3, 2, 1, Michael. Really sorry about that. We'll try to keep our hand on the ball tightener.
Well, you make sure I don't sound black. All right, go ahead.
And now back to the Michael P. Castrato Show.
All right, thanks a lot. Thank you, Gordon. Okay, hi, Macy, on the line there. Hi, Macy, how you doing, hon?
Thank you, Michael. Well, as I was saying,
you want something to drink there?
If you don't mind.
All right. We always love to get calls from our seniors. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was...
You know what?
You know that you should just get yourself a hot cup of tea,
man, because tea tastes really good.
Now I know I'm talking to a Negro.
Well, wait a second. Damn, man. The ball tightener came loose. Man.
Well, that means that I can unrestrict my ass flattener.
Your ass flattener? What's that mean?
I've got something that flattens my ass out. Watch what happens. Now, this is who I really am.
Well, I'll be a sumbitch. You're black, too?
That's right. And I always suspected. I always, in deep my heart, I knew you are colored, too. But I didn't...
No, wait, you colored or anything like that. Now, all the white people don't know all the secret, okay? You flatten your ass to sound like a white woman, and you tighten up your balls to sound like a white man.
Well, you know, they know what we do, but they don't know how to buy it.
Where'd you get your ass flattener?
On the Internet.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, well, anyway, folks, it's really been nice talking to you. God damn, my secret's out.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but I love your program anyway, even though you're black.
This has been the Michael P. Castrato Last Show. Black? Conservative? Wait a minute, there's plenty of them.
I still have a career.
I love you, Michael.
This is Phil Henry's show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, our number. If we get any good calls, of course, we'd be happy to put them on the air. But Mike tells me so far they've been fairly disappointing. That's okay. It's all right. You guys just keep swinging, baby. One of these days you'll connect. Now, the whole thing about that change your voice if you're black stems from personal experience and knowledge that I have, because for... A number of years before I met and wed my beautiful wife, Maria, my girlfriend was African-American, and she was a great gal, and I won't mention her name because who knows who's listening, but in any event, and I was living in Miami at the time, and she was down visiting, and her brother was going to come down to visit, and he wanted to stay at a hotel, and she said to me, would you call up to such and such hotel up there on the beach and see if they have any openings, and if they do, go ahead and reserve a name for him, or reserve a room for him. I said, why doesn't he do it himself? She said, because once they hear an African-American's voice, you don't know, but many times they'll say, we're full up. Now, I know it's, to white people, you say this to white people, their eyes get wide, and they're like, oh, gee, that happens in America still? Yeah, it does. It does. I'm sorry to have to break the news to you, and you may not think that it does, and you may think that they're paranoid, and you may think that they're imagining things, and all of this great, wonderful bullcrap that white folks sort of make themselves feel better over. But the fact of the matter, it does, and so I did. I called up and reserved a room for him, and imagine their shock and surprise when it wasn't the white guy who called up, but here came a black guy, and they probably just freaking dropped their dentures. But that's what happened. So I hit upon the idea of getting some kind of a ball tightener for African-American men so that they could just turn that thing on and then suddenly they sound like a white guy when they're on the phone. Okay, so they're calling up and...
Holiday Inn.
Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah, hi. Can I get a hotel room?
Why, certainly, sir.
Oh, that's great.
Because I'm bringing down a half of my family. Click. Oh, shoot. I didn't get the right kind of ball tightener.
It's stupid. I realize it. But it was a thought that I had. I told my girlfriend, I said, well, what do you think? And she said, yeah, sure, Phil. You go ahead. You work on that one, man. That's just my way of, nailing people. So anyway, there's going to be a $1 million game this weekend, the XFL's big $1 million game. And nobody cares. I understand that. No one likes it, and I understand that, too. And they say the football sucks. But a couple of the guys that were interviewed today for the XFL said something, and I thought bears mentioning for you sports fans. If you're not a sports fan, well, too bad. They said, look, you watch NC2A football, don't you? Why wouldn't you watch the XFL? The football in the XFL is better than the football in the NCAA. So why would you spend the money and the time and the trouble to go to an NC2A game when, in point of fact, XFL football is better? We could beat the worst XFL team right now, could beat the defending national champion in college football. And he makes a good point, until you realize that nobody goes to college football games to watch good football. They go there because that's their freaking alma mater, or they got free tickets. Or they're fans of the school, or they've been following the tradition for 100 years, or this is the 186th renewal of Auburn versus Slippery Rock, or it's there's reasons. College football has nothing to do with football. Nothing to do with football. Even I didn't go to college. And, you know, I've been around television a lot, too, as a matter of fact, these days, and because I've been just doing some auditions and stuff, and I noticed most people in TV have never been to college either. So it makes me feel warm. So a lot of those guys that are covering the game, you know, like Keith Jackson, did he go to school? I don't think, wasn't he? He was 11th grade dropout. And he went on and had a great broadcast. He's had a marvelous broadcast career. Dick Enberg didn't get out of the 5th grade. You think I'm lying? Dick Enberg didn't get out of the 5th grade. Of course I'm lying. Guy is so well-spoken. He must have gone to some kind of higher education. You know, there's no way that Dick Enberg didn't get out of the 5th grade. But I'll bet you one guy who didn't get out, Pat Summerall, no, he's a smart guy, but I think there was Jim McKay dropped out as a freshman, and that's too bad, in high school. All right, anyway. Nobody goes to college to watch these games. So these XFL guys ought to know that, because if they came to watch the quality of football in college, then they would be going to these XFL games. You go to college games because you want to get blasted on beer, eat brats, tailgate, go in, do the whole rah-rah bit, watch the colors as they come flying out onto the field. It's all a real college tradition thing, which is why I've never been a big college football fan, because I never went to college. If I had an alma mater, I would follow them. Do you follow CSUN? You follow them religiously. CSUN and the Big Sky Conference, I hear they had a real Donnybrook against Montana State. What school did you go to, Craig? Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you. So moving on, did you go to college, man? 2 years of what? Community college? Yeah, I went to PCC. So I kind of follow the fortunes of the Lancers of Pasadena City College. Saddleback, yeah, I hear they're great. Get out of here, Saddleback. There shouldn't be football at the junior college level. In any event, that's why people go to these games. So these knuckleheads with that XFL game, and they are predicting there's probably going to be 14 people show up for this thing. All of them got lost on their way to the Staples Center for the Kings game. By the way, did you see the Kings? They tied the Red Wings 2-2. All of a sudden, everybody's a hockey fan in L.A. I always love it, man. It's like the rest of the year, it's like, I'm going to go out and see the L.A. Maple Leafs play. Well, you know, it's the Kings. Now, They're all big fans. My old man took me to hockey games down here at the sports arena when it was the L.A. Blades in the Western Hockey League, and they had Leo Labine and Willie O'Ree, the only black guy ever to play in hockey up to that point, broke the color line, so they tell me. Went up to Chicago and said, Willie O'Ree, he broke the color line in hockey. So far, we haven't had any other black guys play, but he was the least one. He went over the color line and then went back over the other way. You think hockey's integrated? Yeah, we had a black guy in 1963. He left town after his house was burned down, but he's... No, they're good people. Canadians are good guys. Just turn on your TV right now. Look at the cops. They're in riot gear, throwing tear gas. They do it with the best of them. So, yeah, I go down and watch that crap. So I grew up in a hockey house, and I come, grow up, and there's the Kings, and now they're back in it. But this freaking XFL... I spent $500 for those season tickets. I haven't been to one game. People ask us, have you been to the game? I said, no. You spent money on the... I haven't been to one game. You spent $500 for parking and tickets. You haven't... No, not a one. Why? Because it's an investment. If the league takes off, then I'm in on the ground floor. I got 50-yard line seats. It's a beautiful thing. If the league goes into the toilet, which looks like it's gonna, all right, so I'm out $500. Well, what the hell, man? I could either do that or buy stock. In this market, I'd rather buy those XFL tickets. Better investment. This guy, Vince McMahon,'s got too much of an ego to let that thing go into the toilet. I got news for you. It'll be back next year. They're not going to blow that thing up. They'll bring it back next year. They'll put the games on Sunday. They'll get an ESPN contract at TNT, and they'll do it right. The million-dollar game. How do you televise a game when there's nobody in the stands? You just keep it right there on the field. You never pan up. What about on kickoffs? That's the hard part. Do they kick it off? You have an aerial shot. That's good. Craig just... the problem you guys need to solve there at NBC on the kickoffs where the ball goes up in the air and then they're panning past endless rows of empty seats as it comes down. And sometimes the hang time on those kicks is like 8 seconds. So it's like 8 solid seconds of empty seats and then it comes down. What you need to do is get a camera in the blimp and do an aerial shot. So you're just shooting straight down onto the field, and they'll never know that no one was there. Now, the parking lot, that's, I don't know what you're going to do. There's no cars out there. There's tumbleweeds blowing. There's a wind machine. They've got dust. You know, they do the stands like the Sergeant Pepper cover, where they get all the cutout faces, and they just sit there like little cardboard cutouts of, I don't know, whoever the hell you want to be. Porky Pig, you know, Felix the Cat. What the hell? You think people are going to notice? Camera's so far away. At that point, they just need anybody in the stand. Even if it's a cardboard cutout of a cartoon character. Jessica Rabbit, you know, the X-Men, freaking Power Rangers. It would take more time to make cutouts of cartoon characters and stick them in the stands than to just give away tickets to the game. And that's how you do it. They're going to paper the stands with free tickets. It's not going to be a problem, man. They'll have people in that ball game. Don't worry about it. They just won't be paying for their seats. That's all. And, oh, yeah, Craig asked me for my tickets for this weekend, so I'm going to give them to him. Yo, Nikki, you don't know it yet, but you're going to the XFL game. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Call the Phil Henry Show. And don't forget, if you want our CD, the number is 877-616-PHIL. It's Phil Henry Show.